What we're going to read today is actually some of the last words of Jesus before he ascended into heaven. This is after he resurrected. He died for our sins. He resurrected. He rose 3 days later, overcoming death. And these are some of the last words that he will say. Now think about this. The last words that he's going to say. He's not going to be with people anymore in a physical sense. So those words are probably going to be very well chosen and well selected, because these are going to be the last things that he says. It's kind of like in one of the movies where somebody is dying and they have just a couple of minutes and they get to say one or two last things, and they make it important. It's never something trivial in that situation. It's never like, hey, did you see the tackle that happened to Cutler last? No, it's never something like that. It's always something that's important. The movies show maybe they give away a secret to a treasure or something that's buried, or they reveal something that no one else would know. And this is what we're going to read. Some of the last words of Jesus, starting in verse 15. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned." And just to show you that this is the setting, move to verse 19. Because he does say some other wonderful things that are not for us to dwell on today. They are amazing things that he continues to say. But in verse 19 he says, "So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God." What an exit. If you ever wanted to put an exclamation point on something you say, this would be a way of doing it. I'm going to say what I say, and then I'm going to rise up into heaven. Could you imagine being there? These are words that probably will never be forgotten. These are words that are important. And what he says, in part, is he who believes and is baptized will be saved. In this case, as in other cases, the order is important. He who believes and is baptized. Belief comes first. Baptism comes second. Believing God comes first, and the baptism follows as a step of obedience. The order is important in this case. These words are so important that we actually, as a church, have named them the Great Commission. This is part of the Great Commission. They have such weight and such importance that the church recognizes them as the Great Commission. Along with the two greatest commandments, the Great Commission, if we just had the strength to follow these things, the kingdom of God would advance beyond belief. But here they are. Believe and be baptized. He says something very similar in Matthew's version of the Great Commission. I will read it. It's in Matthew 28. And it says this in verse 19. It says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Again, make disciples. It seems like there's a decision and then there's a baptism. Make disciples. There's a decision and then there's a baptism. So what are we supposed to believe? There's many things that you could believe. Believe in Jesus. Believe that he is the Son of God. Believe that he came to die for our sins, because the punishment for sin is death, according to the Word of God. And we all have sin and we all deserve death. But Jesus came and he stepped in and took your death and gave you life. This is what we believe. This is what salvation is means to us. Salvation is Jesus has come and died for you and for me. Because we needed a Savior. We needed somebody who could pay this price. It was either him or us. And by accepting him, by believing on him, we're saying, Jesus, we understand you have paid the price for my sins. And I thank you. And we commit our lives to him. This is what we believe. And when he says, believe and be baptized, this is the believe part. The believe that he is who he said, but it's not done just yet. If you have a Bible, you want to turn there, turn to Romans 10. Romans 10 and verse number 9. And while you're turning there, it's not just the Great Commission that tells us believe and be baptized. On Peter, on the day that the church was born, on the day of Pentecost, as we call it, when men said, what shall we do to be saved after we preach this sermon? And men were convicted in their hearts. They said, what shall we do to be saved? And he said, repent and let every one of you be baptized. It's repent and be baptized. It's do some. It's acknowledge something. It's accept the Lord's offering. Repent and then be baptized. The order is very important and significant. In Romans 10, verse 9, it says this, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Part of what we're believing is the lordship of Jesus. It says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. You see, belief in Jesus is not just to get you out of hell, although that is part of it. Belief in Jesus is allowing him to become your Lord. We confess the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus is what we confess. And that means that not only is he your Savior, you will make him your Lord. That means you will begin to follow him. That means that you will give him the leadership of your life. You will submit your will to his will. You will make him the ruler of your life. You will make him the Lord of your life. And that means that you follow what he says. And when Jesus says, believe and be baptized, he doesn't even get the sentence out. This is what it takes to be saved. From Jesus, he says, believe, be baptized. He doesn't even finish the sentence before he gives his first command. He doesn't even finish the sentence of what it takes to be saved before he gives you his first command, be baptized. And this is why we do things the way we do it. We try and line up exactly with the Word of God as much as we possibly can. We baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit because this is what the Bible tells us in Matthew 28. Believe and be baptized. He is Lord. If he is Lord, then we follow his commands. He actually says to us in several places, in John 14, he says, if you love me, you will follow my commands. If you love me, you'll follow my commands. Later on, in John, 1 John, it says, if you love me, you'll follow my commands, and my commands won't be a burden. Because you love him. He's your Lord. You just do it. Maybe you don't understand it. You just do it. Because he says to do it. Because we trust him with our lives. This is why we do what we do. Because the Bible tells us to do it. And Jesus is our Lord. There are people that will do all kinds of difficult things in the name of God. They will do all kinds, they will bend over backwards, they will give their time, they will give their money, they will give all kinds of things, their resources. Jesus is asking for something simple. Be baptized. Be baptized. See, there's nothing magical about the water. It's not like there's going to be some chemical reaction and you're going to change into this. It's just water. But it's not because the water is not the thing that changes you. It's obedience to Jesus' command, which is why we do this. There's no magic. There's no special blessing about the water. There's nothing like that. It's obedience to Jesus, your Lord. This is what baptism is about. There's symbolism in there, yes. The old man is buried, the new man rises up, yes. But it's obedience to the command of Jesus. Because he is Lord. This is what we believe. We believe that in the Lord Jesus, and then we're saved. And we obey his commands. I'll ask you to turn to another place, Revelation 3:20. We've sang songs about this. Even Brother Pat's alluded to this verse today. Revelation 3:20, it says, "Behold," I'll wait till I stop hearing pages turning. Revelation 3:20, it's the last book of the Bible, easy to find. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as also I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." Behold. Behold, he stands at the door and knocks. And he says, "Behold. Behold, pay attention. Look at what I'm doing." He's calling attention to his action. "Behold, look it, I'm waiting. Look, I'm waiting for you. Look at what I'm doing. Pay attention to how Jesus is acting." This is talking about Jesus. "Look at how I'm acting. Behold, I'm standing at the door. I'm standing and I'm knocking. I'm not always going to do that. There's coming a day where he tells us every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. It's not going to be voluntary on that day. It's not going to be you get to choose whether you make him Lord or not. You're going to bow. Every knee will bow. It doesn't matter how atheistic you are. It doesn't matter how much of a God hater the person might be. He will bow. And his tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's going to happen. The question is, will you do it voluntarily? Because here he's saying, I'm standing at the door, but I'm waiting for you to open it. Just like that song we sang today. Waiting for you to open the door that he might come in. This is the position of Jesus today. Standing at the door, knocking at the door, waiting patiently. But that time is not unlimited, because there will be an end to that, and none of us knows when that end is, either individually or collectively. Nobody knows when that is. His waiting is not because of indifference. His waiting is not because he doesn't care. His waiting is because he wants you to make a voluntary decision. Because this is a voluntary decision for each and every one of us. You've heard several cases of that in testimony today. It's a voluntary decision. It's a thought that comes to you. The Lord might prompt it in your heart, but you still have to submit to it. You still have to say, okay. It's still you that opens the door. The knocking could be there. And I'm sure the knocking is there on many people's hearts. The question is, will you open the door? Will you answer the knock? Will you answer? Will you answer when he stands waiting for you? Behold, he is at the door. Behold, he is knocking. Behold, he is looking for you to open the door. I want you to know that this is not about any desires that we have to have a longer service or more baptism or numbers. It's not about any of that. This is about eternal security. This is about eternal security. And if you hear in my voice there is a concern, yes, there is a concern. Eternal security is huge to me. And I don't want anybody to fall short of it. If that's what you hear that in my voice, it's about eternal security. And I don't want anyone to have any doubt. If Jesus says, believe and be baptized. If Jesus says, believe and be baptized. If that is his first command for salvation, why wouldn't we listen? Why would we want to risk so great a thing by saying, well, you might not really require it. You might not really need this from me. He knows my heart. Lord, he is Lord. He is Lord. And when you have a Lord, when you have a king, when there was a king, you didn't really get to say to the king, well, you know, your command is okay, but, you know, I'm really not in the mood for that command today. You know, I might skip that command today. The king said it and people obeyed. That was the end. There was no discussion. There was no negotiating. There was no, well, I'll do what I want. The king says, and we obey. This is the opportunity that is presented today. This is the opportunity. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Be baptized in your salvation. Your salvation is secure. You will be saved. It doesn't say you might be saved. We've heard also in testimonies today that you don't have to clean yourself up. This is the whole point. This is the whole point of why Jesus died. Because we could not clean ourselves up. We could not do it by ourselves. We were not able to. If we were able to do things by ourselves, Jesus' death would not be necessary. He died because we had no hope without him. And now that we have him, there is hope beyond measure. Believe and be baptized. I'm going to say a prayer. I'm going to say a prayer that God's will would be done in your life. That if God is knocking on your heart, on the door of your heart, that you would open the door today. Brother Pat's already explained all of the excuses for not being prepared. They're all taken care of. We have clothes, we have people, all the instructions. All you have to do is say yes. And then, by God's grace and God's provision, everything else is provided today. Will you make him Lord of your life today? Let's bow our heads. Father, we come to you. Lord, and I pray, Father, that you would just continue to knock. And knock harder, Lord. If that's what needs be, knock harder, Lord, and let people understand that you are there, that you are at the door, and you are the one who is looking
for their heart to be voluntarily turned over to you today, Lord. Lord, we speak of such great things. We speak of spiritual things, Lord. And then maybe they're a little confusing. So I ask you, Lord, that you would cut through all the confusion and that you would speak to people's hearts, their spirits, their minds, Lord, and give them courage. Yes, Lord. Give them courage to overcome all obstacles that prevent them from responding to you. I pray, Father, that you would just make your will to be known in the lives of people even right now. We thank you, Lord. We praise you. I thank you for the offer of salvation. I thank you for Jesus, and I thank you for what he's done for us on the cross. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, God, for so great a price, for so great an act of mercy and love that you have done for us. We praise you, and we can't thank you enough, Lord. We do commit our lives to you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. God's name be praised.